Welcome to episode 334 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. What does the Bible have to say about romance? The Bible has been called God's love letter to humanity. Although it contains harsh imagery and warnings about God's judgment, the Bible is also filled with creative expressions of love between human beings and God. Consider the example from Psalm 42, verse 1. As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. But love and romance, though intertwined, are not identical. We can have romance without real love, and we can have love without feeling romantic. While passages such as Zephaniah 3, verse 17 describe God's emotional love for his own, other passages such as 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8 detail qualities of love that have nothing to do with the emotions that are associated with romance. Jesus says in John 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Dying an agonizing death on a cross for ungrateful sinners was in no way romantic, but it was the ultimate expression of love." Eros is a type of love that is most closely associated with romance. However, this kind of love is reserved for marriage. What does the Bible say about proper and improper expressions of love that ought to be between a husband and wife? Here are 20 passages of scripture that offer us insights for better understanding of marital love. 1. Genesis 2 verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." God intended for us to have companionship, for us to help each other. 2. Genesis 2 verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God established marriage, and he also established sex. 3. Genesis 29 verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. There is something beautiful about showing one's worthiness for a spouse through both service and waiting. 4. Proverbs 5 verses 18 to 19. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. God's best for humanity is for a man to marry a wife in his youth and for him to rejoice with her for the rest of his days. Life circumstances mean there will be many different ways this is lived out, but when a man does marry a woman in his youth, God's best is for him to rejoice in her until death parts them. 5. Proverbs 18 verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Since God instituted marriage, God bestows favor on those who marry in accordance with his will. 6. Proverbs 31 verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? She's far more precious than jewels. Solomon is urging his readers to prioritize that which is most important. Finding the right partner is worth far more than a material fortune. 7. Song of Solomon 6, verse 8. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He grazes among the lilies. This is an important description of the idea of oneness. The maiden who says these words senses and values the spiritual, emotional, physical, and life connection she has with her lover. 8. Song of Solomon 7, verse 6. How beautiful and pleasant you are, O loved one, with all your delights. All your delights. She delights him, obviously with her beauty and personality, but also with her character and strength. 9. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Jesus has given us the example of how to love, and we ought to apply this example to all of our relationships. 10. Romans 12, verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. This should be true even in a marriage. 11. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 to 5. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Remember, even Eros, love, ought to be other-centered. 12. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 6. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Agape love is necessary for marital success. 13. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. Measure your words and your actions against a love standard. 14. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? This relates to what Amos 3, verse 3 mentions about two walking together. They must be in agreement. 15. Galatians 5, verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. Within or without marriage, eros love can be perverted. 16. Ephesians 5, verse 3. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Note that greed is counted along with sexual immorality and impurity. Greed is self-focused. Likewise, sexual immorality and impurity tends to be selfish. 17. Colossians 3, verse 14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Whatever love we practice, it ought to facilitate harmony. 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 to 6. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. God needs to be the one on whom we can call to help us to keep our passions in check. 19. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexual immoral and adulterous. One can honor or dishonor God in the marriage bed. 20. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. So we need to be slow to anger and quick to forgive. There we have it, 20 passages of scripture by which we know marital love. But besides these verses that we have highlighted, consider reading more as a part of your personal study. Father, thank you for the gift of your word. May it fill our hearts today and transform us so that we will be obedient to your will. That's our episode. Remember that God called you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.